Hello, sisters, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
I'm Phoebe.
No fucking way.
You literally left
me out to dry in such a major way with that.
I can't do it. It's not worth it. Yes.
It's not like I'm doing my perfect Cockney accent.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing if you were. You're doing Troy and Belisario's.
Yeah, but you could try it.
No, I can't.
You could play the game.
It's not going to work.
Well, if it wasn't clear by the party pooper attitude, that's Phoebe. I'm Caroline. And I'm disowning you as my sister. I have to say, you guys, I have started the Mike's Mike process.
I thought you were going to say, I have started rewatching Pretty Little Liars.
Hell no. I almost rewatched the finale last night just to, like, again,
yeah,
for this.
I thought about it too.
I was like, I just watched it twice. And what's crazy to me when I'm watching Mike's Mike, and I'm going to get into my thoughts a little bit here in a second, but not too much because I haven't finished it. But what's weird is, like, I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, Mike's Mike and you and I have probably watched this show with the same level of intensity. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe not the same level of intensity, but we've written down every moment, we've paused, we've gone back, whatever.
There's something about his... He knows, he remembers every single second of that show.
What are his methods?
Doing it.
I'm like, what are your note-taking methods? I want to see the binder. It's not enough for me
to
have
you
speak
it.
I need to see
it all.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to get inside that mind. And so we need to get him on the podcast, which I feel like we should be able to do. I feel like we should be able to do that. But I don't know if he will ever come on this podcast. But I just feel like we should be able to.
I've DM'd him once or twice.
I don't know if I have, but I tagged him in our Instagram story last night. I will continue as I go along my journey because the thing is also I'm LOLing. I'm fully laughing out loud. But he also remembers that, like, there are things I'm like, oh, I could never have told you. Like, it's a nice reminder, honestly, of certain plot holes that, like, you totally forget about.
Well, that's another thing that's almost like, that's what's so impressive about how he's able to keep track of even that aspect.
Yeah. You have
to. How do you remember these things that aren't being tied up?
That's the thing. Because I was like, are you just realizing that as you're saying it? Or, like, have you been keeping a log of waiting for certain thought points to be...
The Excel sheets on that man's computer must be, like...
I know.
Crazy.
It's really impressive. And the way he breaks it down is great. He's hilarious, but he's still, like, no nonsense. Like, he gets mm-hmm. right to the point, which I appreciate. Because, I mean, hello, there are, like, 200... episodes of the show, so he could take forever if he wanted to, but he doesn't. It's very easy to follow, but he has me cracking up with some of the shit he says. Like, what did he say? He was like, every time there's, like, a bad wig, he's like, and the costume department's never seeing heaven, and, like, just continues on calling
so
all
funny.
The pedophiles crusties and calling all the girls go boss. She go boss too hot.
Have you ever watched any of his stuff before?
No, never watched any of it. I also love how he's babe.
Oh my gosh.
After everything. He said babe.
He's so funny. All his videos are so funny.
Yeah, I've never, because in my mind it was like, and I realize it's not, but in my mind it was like, that's the entry point to Mike's Mike is Pretty Little Liars, because I kind of thought that was, like, his main thing. And then when I went to his YouTube page last night, I was like, whoa, he is
well,
so
imagine
much.
My surprise being a Mike's Mike viewer and then him deciding
prior
to fully dive into Pretty Little Liars.
So when did he do this? Obviously, the entire show was out.
It's been a while ago. I mean, I think I was early in college. It's before
we
did the podcast, I think, or maybe around when
we
started.
Yeah, no, it was definitely before the podcast. When did you start watching his channel?
Probably high school.
Oh my god. Yeah, the YouTube world
was
just one. Unless you were a beauty vlogger, I was not in that space. I just wasn't. But ask me anything about Tati Westbrook, I can answer that.
I was locked in on that. And in college for AP Lang, we had to do, like, something. I don't remember. We had to do, for some reason, Dan was in my group, and we decided to recreate those videos. And Dan had to be James Charles. And we had someone in our group had the like by sister the sister sweatshirt or something. So we put Dan in that and gave him, like, a safety pin earring and, like, had his hair look like James Charles, and I was Tati Westbrook.
What the fuck. How did this never come across my desk, Phoebe?
I don't think I knew you knew what was going on when the bi-sister stuff happened.
I mean, she's like the number one. She was like the number one.
I know, but she wasn't really vlogger. At that point. And it wasn't really about her. Well, she like, was that was my like, introduction to her, really.
Yeah. I just remember that I had like a few vloggers who I really liked, but and she wasn't even necessarily one of them, but it was really fun watching her put on makeup. Like, I just really liked watching her put on makeup. Like, I liked her whole setup. I liked the whole thing. But, like, I didn't really care for her. It was just really her application, and, like, she was really good at it.
I didn't care for anybody in that scandal, but it was a blast to recreate.
Oh, my God. Did you, like, make the videos?
Yeah.
Find them.
I don't know where they could be. Well, I literally you
start looking.
I mean, like I have okay. zero. I even was in something that looked like her. Like
who did
her,
your makeup? I know she like doesn't have it. She doesn't. Well, then that's crazy.
That wasn't then, the point. What of grade what we're
could
doing.
You have possibly gotten? Well, Phoebe, hello. You were being a personality. Really her whole thing really is makeup. Well you didn't have any. Did Dan have makeup on?
I don't think he let us put makeup on him.
That's crazy.
He was like, yeah, I'll let you put the ear. I'll let you tape the earring to my ear. That's fine. He did get a little bit bullied for it.
Oh,
by this
please.
One asshole kid in our
it's
class.
It's like, okay, then you're doing something right. You know what I mean? Like, if you were getting bullied, if you were not getting bullied, you weren't doing enough. You weren't speaking out enough. You weren't being yourself. Sorry. Because anybody who was getting bullied was a real one. And that still holds true. That's still true today.
I would say.
I mean, unless you're being bullied and then, like, you turn into the bully in, like, a really creepy way, then, like, you deserved it from the get-go. I just think that Phoebe, like, that's probably why I never heard about it, because I would have said...
No, I didn't know that you knew who Tati Westbrook was.
That's crazy. You were so checked out of me, I guess. You were so checked out.
Well, no, you
out.
Were fully in college when this all happened. Like, I was a senior in high school. That means you makeup. Graduated from college.
I love makeup.
I know, but I just...
Of course I would know about it. And I'm just saying that I would have said, well, let me come home and do your makeup for this. And you're going to do it for real. And the fact that you did it with not a stitch of makeup on actually means you missed the point.
But I think that might have been when I debuted a middle part. I think I probably parted my hair in the middle. And I even had my knees up the way that she does in the video. Where she, because she's sitting in that chair and you can see her knees.
Okay, bragging.
And yep, thank you. And she's in that, like, almost Kyle Richards. What do they call the things that Kyle Richards wears around the house?
House coat?
Like,
I don't know.
Her, like, muumuus.
Oh, the muumuu. Okay, yeah.
But what's the actual name
like a
night, for that?
It's like a nightgown?
No, it's not the name I'm thinking of.
That's a muumuu.
Like, that kind of, like, polyester floral kind of, like, flowy. There's a name for it, and it's actually going to make me so mad that I don't know it. No.
Oh, my God.
Caftan.
Sorry. A caftan. Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah, when I imagine that, I imagine Tati Westbrook, actually. She loved a caftan. And I don't really know the right way to say that, but I think that we just did a fine job. What did I say?
I do the emphasis on the tan.
Caftan. What did I say?
Caftan.
Okay, you clocked that. All right. So anyway, I'm just having such a good time watching Mike's Mike Babe. And I think it's so fun.
Good. I can't believe it's... Well, I mean, I guess you had to wait.
I had to wait because, again, in my mind, this was, like, the entry point to him. Like, I literally did it. And I thought that, like, all his fame... Well, yeah, no, I know. But I also thought from, like, all of his fame was from this. Like, I thought his Pretty Little Liars videos are what got him on the freaking map. And
his,
like,
main fame was... I mean, I was watching his videos, I think, before he even hit 100K subscribers.
No. Okay, name five Mike's videos that aren't the Pretty Little Liars videos. That's
well,
right
I just loved him because I love... Anybody with that accent makes me laugh 10 times
well,
harder
he's
than anybody
funny.
Without it.
Like, just, he is funny. The way he talks, the way he says shit. And I was like... Since we were talking about the finale today, I was wondering if I should go watch his finale video. But I was like, no, because by that point, he'll have other little nicknames and inside jokes. Mm-hmm. And even though this is just like a three-part series, like, I just need to – exactly. And that was another thing I was thinking, like
– Well, we need to really talk to him about Memoli, I think. Not that I'm so obsessed, but, like, he didn't catch
well,
it.
Well, we kind of are. Not people being like, hey, this Memoli idea is sort of driving my next rewatch. And I'm like – Have other people said that? You'll really find. Yes. Multiple people have said this. And I just want you guys to know.
Because it's not there.
It might have all been in my head. It might have all been in our heads. But
honestly, like, could be. I want to see Memoly edits. I want to start seeing Memoly
edits. Memoly edits, please. Memoly edits, please. What are we waiting for, girls?
Get on CapCut.
Get on CapCut. I know you have CapCut Premium. I want to see the Memoly edits.
I want to see, like, someone's going to be. You know, have you been seeing the Roderick from Diary of the Wimpy Kid and Regina edits?
No.
Regina George?
No.
There's this one TikTok account that's gone viral, and they've started to make videos as if Roderick and Regina, like, had, like, something going on in some alternate universe in high school. So they're able to,
And
like,
is Roderick the Wimpy Kid?
No. He's the, like, goth older brother.
Oh, okay. Those were after my time.
Oh, right. Anyway. But basically, what you could do, the way they're doing it is, like, they'll take different clips, and they're not even just using Mean Girls Diary of the Wimpy Kids. They're even, like, they meet up 10 years down the line, and it's, like, Rachel McAdams in, like, a different movie, and they're, like, putting them together in, like, a crazy way.
They've dropped out of school completely. I kind of want you guys to do
that. Like, tell the story that we've told where, like, Emily's, is there a scene of Shay Mitchell in a bathroom somewhere listening to a conversation? Could you splice that with when Melissa and Hannah are fighting? Like, we said that's when Emily...
Oh my God.
Emily was like, oh my gosh, I have a chance.
If somebody makes this happen,
I'll Venmo you $5.
Riches await you. Well, okay. Phoebe says, I'll Venmo you $5. I say, riches await you. And what I meant by that is, like, you'll get some sort of a prize, but in that prize, okay, might fine, be $9 from Phoebe's Venmo account.
You get a t-shirt.
We'll give you merch. If somebody makes this and they're like, hey, that's not enough. Hey, you're at. 4 hours and hours of work, and it's like, okay, but do it for the love of the game. Like, yeah, hello, don't do
we'll
it.
We'll mention it on pod t-shirt. And you get a t-shirt.
We'll post it on pod and we'll credit you. And like, what could be more enticing than that, really? Anyway, well, today we are gonna dive back into that finale. Obviously, we did our recap, then we talked to Sarah Shepherd, and like, we talked about the finale, but our time with the queen was limited, so like, we had to kind of prioritize. And so now I feel like Phoebe and I can really get into how we really felt about the finale. And I would just love to hear, like, uncensored from you, like, truly what was the reaction at the time watching it? Because that is a moment in time that I just was not present for. And I'm so mad about it because I feel like it would have been an amazing time to be on social media.
Cami and them and so we can all kind of look back and be like, what did we think of it? I mean, we weren't happy, but I think it was kind of like none of us wanted to admit we weren't happy with it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, totally.
I think it felt, at the time, it felt like kind of a slap in the face a little bit to people. Because, and I don't know if this was ever confirmed, but the theory at the time was it wasn't supposed to be Alex Drake. And people had started to catch on to whatever it was going to be. And Marlene early on had, like, really said that the fans weren't going to be able to guess what it was. And I think she got so wrapped up in creating something that the fans literally could not guess that it cost her kind of the fun of it. The fun of it was, first of all, it's like the Taylor Swift Easter eggs. It's like, there are Swifties that get wrapped up in it and they love it and it's important to them. And then there are Swifties who don't even really know what the Easter eggs are or don't care to be doing that calculus.
Right.
And so for this, it's like, I don't understand. I just feel like there were fans who were going to figure it out, and that's part of the fun of it. It's not fun when you introduce a brand new character that nobody could have guessed. There were plenty of fans that were just watching it, and it would have been a shock to them regardless. Right. And then there are other fans who were trying to solve it out, and it's a slap in the face. They're the most dedicated fans.
Right.
They're the people who are the most invested in your show, and now you've just been like, well, I don't want you to guess it. So I'm going to actually make it impossible for you to guess.
Yeah. Do you think that she had, like, a different plan set out and then she changed it last minute?
That's what some people think.
Really?
I think it wasn't necessarily so last minute that it was. But, like, part of me is, like, maybe, yeah, because you throw that last episode in and it's randomly a year in the future. It kind of is irrelevant to everything that happened in the rest of season 7 other than just understanding who did Liar's Lament.
Yeah, except for the only thing that, like, And not
I guess we do see Alex throughout the other things. I think it was a last ditch effort for season 7.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, in the big article that came out this year, they said that Troian had been working on it for, like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I want to say it was, like, 10 years. Or 2 years. Not 10 years. Trying to
what did you say? I'm sorry.
10 years. No, but in the article, like, they said something about how Troian was trusted with it. She knew about it, and she'd known about it for, like, a long time because she had been working with a dialect coach. And I so badly, no, Phoebe, I know, I so badly wanted to bring this up last week with Sarah, but I was like, I just don't want to put her in a position where she feels like we've trapped her into some sort of, like, evil thing. But there's no way Sarah thought that accent was eating. Like, and I'm sorry, when I read that she had been working with someone for, like, an extended amount of time, I was floored. I was agog. I was aghast. I was horrified, honestly. I'm going to find the exact quote. But that, I'm like, you know what? And if that's a lie, that makes perfect sense to me because the accent does not reflect that amount of homework.
Yeah. I don't know how long she knew about it. But I do think that, I don't know, I think it was a shitty ending. I think it was kind of shitty to do to the fans a little bit. I think it would have been way more fun if it was someone that we knew. And if we could, I understand that with Alex, there were things that we could look back and be like, oh, that was Alex, not Spencer. That is fun. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. But, and maybe wanting to nod to the twins a bit, I get it. But I just think introducing a brand new character in the last hour and a half of a show that's been on air for almost a decade is, like, it's frustrating and annoying.
Well, one thing that I think is funny is, like, Marlene says in the article, she's like, it was never going to be a liar. Like, we didn't want it to be one of them. And I know that Arya being A was one of the main theories. And I just have to read this, like, this back and forth from the Hollywood Reporter article, because although, like, I know this is Lucy Hale, it's not Arya, and I don't want to glue those two together, but this is so funny. So they're talking about, was there potential for other people to be A? Lucy Hale goes, 100.
Oh, I remember this quote.
She goes, 100% I thought Arya was going to be A in the end. Marlene, the producers, and the writers were very good at keeping the storylines and scripts under wraps. Sometimes you're getting the script days before shooting, so it kept the mystery alive for us in real life as well. In my mind, I kept thinking, surely it's going to be Arya in the end. I think all of us surely wanted that for hysterical. Our characters. Marlene King, it wasn't changed, and it wasn't going to be her.
And it wasn't gonna be her.
I'm sorry, that being the direct response to what Lucy said. It wasn't changed and it wasn't going to be her.
Imagine.
It was always a final destination that wasn't one of our four liars, but we had fun with it.
But imagine the moment. Let's just pretend for a second that Lucy's Arya in real life. And she finds out at the table read that Alex, like, she's finding out that AD is Alex Drake, and she's like, oh, phew, it's not one of us. And then she finds out that Alex Drake is the identical twin Spencer, and Troian Belisario gets to essentially be A.
Wait, who's playing Alex? But who's playing Alex Drake? Which actor? Because do we have a new person on set today? Like, bring them out. Like, where are they? And they're like, oh, it's actually, hello, sister. And Troian goes into her accent. And Lucy starts like, slamming her head into the table.
She thinks that Lucy's going to be like, oh, my God.
Lucy doesn't, they still haven't spoken. Unfortunately, like, the two actors Lucy have not suddenly, spoken to this day.
Lucy is suddenly, like, much closer with Ashley than she's ever been. She's like, I just think her accent. Like, Ashley, did you hear it? Did you hear her accent? God.
It's
I just
so
don't understand
funny.
Why they would give that to her when they know that I have a British accent on lock.
And
in
that's
my back
something
pocket.
I have to say. Like, I know that no shade, Lucy Hale. I actually love this about you. But I know that there was commentary about the accent behind the scenes. I just know that there was because I just know, okay?
Especially
and I
you
know
guys have all been open
that Lucy
about
Hale was
that
like,
we
okay,
were...
everyone's like, okay, yeah, she looks like a Victorian doll, but I'm sorry. Like, and I would never say this to her. And I love her. And I think she's so gifted. Like, she's such a gifted actress.
Gifted, of course.
But I just feel like, I don't, and maybe it's a dialect coach. Like, maybe it's not Troian at all, but
it's not a fit.
I kind of expected something different. Like, it just doesn't really, it doesn't sound good. How long has she known? Like, that's that for sure.
A year
behind the scenes. A year? I really wish I could find the exact thing, but they said she had known for a little while, which I did think was crazy. That. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with the ending. I've grown to like it. Like, I've grown to think it's cool and, like, whatever. Yeah. And I do enjoy the looking back at when, or the kind of getting to have fun when you watch it back and being like, was this Alex or Spencer?
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah. But
other than why couldn't we have made it, like, I don't know.
Well, from my perspective, okay, like, obviously, I've known forever that people look at this finale as, like, high camp, low-key a joke, like, what the fuck vibes, you know what I mean?
I think that's fine. Like, that, to me, if the writers had been going at it from that angle, that would be fine, but they weren't. They thought they were, like... But that's what's also frustrating. It's like, you guys don't insult the intelligence of your audience by, like, trying to make us think that this is some incredible ending to the show that isn't funny.
That's the thing. Like, because I had this distance from it, where, like, not watching it at the time, and I wasn't in the thick of it when it was all, like, you know, like, looking back at the entire show, we see that the entire thing was so ridiculous. So for me, I'm like, what else would the finale be? Like, the finale should be something that's, like, laugh out loud, what the fuck, insane, because that is how the entire show feels. But I do feel like when we were watching it live, like, it wasn't a fucking joke. It didn't fucking feel like that. Like, it didn't feel like camp. It felt like this is a high-stakes teen drama, and we will respect it as such, you know?
Exactly.
But, like, now we're able to see it for what it was and LOL at it. And so for me, I'm like, the finale was low-key everything I expected it to be and wanted it to be. Because I already knew kind of what it was, I guess. So it was a different, like, thing. But I'm like, how could I hate it? Like, how could I think this was a bad finale? Like, this is the perfect finale for this fucking show.
Like, I do think we, like, because it was... Obviously, it was high stakes and it was, like, whatever, but I think that, like Sarah said last week, like, there was, like, a wink at the camera the whole time that we were all in tune to.
Okay. Well, I offended Phoebe when I said
No, you didn't. You didn't. I got distracted.
Okay. Anyway, okay, so we're going to dive into some of the things that went down with the girls. So I want to kind of, like, talk through how they wrapped up their stories and if we're happy with, like, the individual girls and their stories being wrapped up. Who do you want to start with?
Let's just go in alphabetical order. Make Aria happy. Let's start with Aria.
Okay, let's start with Aria. How do you feel about Aria's story being wrapped up?
At the time, I was fine with it. I was happy with it. I was happy that Ezra got married at the time. And honestly, if I'm suspending my disbelief, like...
No way you're going to say you still are.
They are meant to be with each other.
Oh, my God. They are absolutely meant to be with each other. I mean, they... I'm, like, choking on the words.
Caroline, they are.
No, I know, but I'm also just, like... I don't want anybody to hear me say that and think that it goes against how much I also hate them and don't agree with that, okay? But, like, yeah, they're two of the most insufferable fucking people, like, in any universe they would find each other. You know what I mean? Like exactly. Attracts like,
babe.
This is,
like, their third or fourth lifetime together.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to keep doing this bullshit and putting everyone in their lives through hell for all of eternity. Like, they just will.
Exactly. Infertility, I don't know if we needed to do that to her. There are plenty of other reasons that Aria could have found the center of the Lost Woods Resort and started sobbing.
And I don't even...
It didn't have to be this. It just felt like...
Well, I don't even know that we're going to bring this up now. Anything. Like, I'm like...
We didn't even know that this was, like, something that she was... We didn't even know she was, like, thinking about kids. We didn't know that... This seems like something... It's been a year since we saw them last. This could have been something she was already thinking about when they got engaged and was starting to realize. But it just felt like it came out of nowhere.
It did. It didn't seem... And, like, out of all of the couples, they kind of seemed like the least...
They were, like, going to be
interested in something like that. Yeah, exactly. Like, I just, or, like, they are going to be excited to go the adoption route or something like that. But, you know, I really should have known, and this is no shade to anybody, but you know how they're always like, well, if you're someone who says, like, what do they just say about, they just said this about Jen Aniston, the critics online. They're like, it's evil of her to say that she, like, wants the kid to be hers. Like, that's selfish. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't agree with that at all. But with that lens, I'm like, well, of course, Arya is like, there's no other way to have a kid. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be just like me. It has to be my flesh. But I don't know that we needed that story for her at all. Like, not that it's not an important story to shine light on.
It's half-baked, and it's going to be unresolved.
You're going to give, this is such a heavy, important issue. You're going to give it 20 minutes in the final episode when it's like, we've had actually a lot of exploration of fertility and pregnancy and women's bodies and things like that.
Different.
We've actually really explored that. And so it just did feel like, and I wonder if they thought, okay, if we put this like struggle in, then it gives Arya a reason to believe that Ezra would leave her at the altar. But that didn't even really connect for me. Like, I'm like,
you could have just told me that Ezra left the altar, and I'd say, bah.
I'd say, I mean, oh, something. Yeah, he got cold feet. Like, Nicole must have called him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are, like, recent reasons that could have been. Or how about this? Crazy stalker.
He got kidnapped.
Yeah, I know it's been a year, but that's not that fucking long. Like, if I'm only a year away from this, I just am not thinking I'm in the clear. Let's not forget, girls, you went away for 5 years and came back and it happened again. Like, what difference is one fucking year going to make? Exactly.
Okay. Next, we'll do Emily, because that's, well, Allison / Emily. Not that they don't have their own stories, but they are intertwined.
Yeah, Emerson. Look, if they ended the way they ended on this finale, I'm happy with their stories.
Me
like,
too.
Although I do think, what the fuck are both of you girls doing teaching in Rosewood High?
No, I'd be out of there. I'd move.
Be out of there. And Emily, you pretty much promised us you would be. It's your whole
dream
thing.
Of making it out.
Hello. Like, you forgot who you are. Allie came back and you're like, oh, wait, I forgot the one reason that I would have loved to be in Rosewood is actually right in front of me. Why would I go anywhere
else? I could get the girl.
But I'm like, hey, Allie, why the hell? Like, question more for Allie. Why the hell do you want to be in Rosewood?
Why do you want to live in the house
looking
out the window at the very yard where you were buried alive?
Where your mother, your own mother, buried you alive rather than just check your pulse.
And then if you just...
Like, that's the other thing.
You just spin...
Rather than check your pulse.
You just spin 180 degrees, you can look in the backyard where your mother was found.
Yes, exactly.
Dead and buried.
And then you can remember about how your mother actually has this evil twin sister, and her evil twin sister actually has an evil daughter who's your frenemy, best friend.
And also you lived here with your evil husband who your best friend actually murdered
tried to
and then
kill
buried.
You and put you into a fucking mental institution, like poisoned you. And then you got I mean, I'm sorry. The list goes on and on and on. And I just, there's not a world.
I'm not living there.
And I get it for the show's sake, but what I would have really honestly loved is if they didn't tie these two women down. Like I'm like, give these women, and just because they're having kids doesn't mean they have to be tied the fuck down. Also, did they get maternity leave?
Well, maybe in that year, because the babies are like freaking full grown at this point.
I know.
So maybe they're like just going back to school that morning and we catch up with them.
I'm just like... And I'm sorry, my other
question
is...
Arya was a sub. Ella was a sub, and that's why the kids are reading Arya's book, because Ella was in the classroom.
She got them started on it, and Allie came in and was like, are you fucking... I
this
isn't
in the
fucking
now? Curriculum.
I haven't
she
read see, it,
she's,
and I wasn't
she,
planning
she
on it.
She sees Ella at the rehearsal dinner, and she's like, hey, Ella, this isn't in the approved curriculum.
Ella!
She's like, hey, it's Mrs. Montgomery. Thank you.
She's like, nobody else has to call me Mrs. Montgomery, including
you
my
do.
Own... My mom doesn't... My child doesn't have to call me mom, but you have to call me... Mrs. Montgomery. No, I just think that, like, Allison staying... And I'm sorry, also just knowing that Addison is still in the vicinity, I'm like, okay, so Allie's gonna be baited every single day, and so is Emily, and so where's the next series?
Oh, don't worry, Jenna's taking care of it.
Oh, right, I forgot Jenna's fully, like, suing Addison. Can you hear my dogs going berserk?
No.
I don't know why they're doing this.
Is Anthony home?
Yep. I don't know why they're doing this. No, I don't. Anyway, okay. Let's talk Hannah and Caleb. Look, I'm happy for them as long as we don't keep having these marital issues.
Yeah, and I feel like they were on pretty decent terms once we ended. I'm happy with them. I wish we had gotten a little more of them maybe in the end that wasn't negative.
It felt like it was all negative except for them
50-50.
Making a baby on the couch.
Yeah, like I would
more
have liked
of
to see,
that.
I would have liked to see the morning after.
I would have liked to see. I literally thought you were going to say I would have liked to see more of that. or the baby making on the couch.
No,
which,
we saw a lot of that.
Okay, guilty. I just didn't like the send off for Caleb, and I felt like that kind of about that all of the boys sort of had something, and I maybe mentioned this with Sarah. If I didn't, I had wanted to, but we didn't have time. Like, I did feel like each of the boys sort of had like an ugly moment or something that made them kind of like, I don't know, in the finale. Like,
is Toby's only thing that he had sex with Alex Drake?
Yeah, and that's not just... stop acting like that's a small thing. I can't stand this with you. Okay, I'm sorry. Boys, stop! Stop! We'll see how that goes. They never hear me raise my voice, so when they do, they tend to listen.
So now that's it's more in the impactful. Podcast.
It's more impactful if okay, you never Aria. Raise your voice.
Aria's gentle
you
parenting.
Know Aria's like, oh, we do gentle parenting. Shut up, Esther! That's Aria talking to her kid. No, actually, her kid's name is like Thumbelina or something.
Listen up, Road Warriors. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods is taking the stress out of gifting. They've got thousands of unique, high-quality finds you're not going to see anywhere else. So don't wait, okay? You know the most meaningful gifts are the ones that get scooped up the fastest, so now is the perfect time to cross those names off your list. Uncommon Goods is the best because they look for products that are high quality, unique, and they're often handmade or made in the U.S., and a lot of them are even crafted by independent artists and small businesses, which makes every gift feel just even more meaningful and truly one of a kind. I'm actually giddy over a gift I found, and I'm getting it for literally all of my friends, including Phoebe. So Phoebe, shut your ears. It's the New York Times Games Premium Puzzle Book. You guys, first of all, the cover is so cool. It is going to look stunning on your coffee table. But it has hundreds of the games we love, like Wordle and Crosswords and Trivia, and it's all in this gorgeous hardcover book. Like, I'm just imagining, okay, you're bringing this to a Christmas grab bag party, and everyone is fighting over it, and you're like, oh my God, they're fighting over something that I brought. It's gonna feel electric, okay? I've never seen this before. I was literally so excited when I saw it on Uncommon Goods. Moral of the story is that Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. It doesn't matter, y'all. You're gonna find thousands of new gift ideas that you're not gonna find anywhere else. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast. That's uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Or Ophelia. Pine. Ophelia, Thumbelina, Chrysanthemum, you shut up! You're going to upset your unborn baby. She's not infertile anymore. She's pregnant. She's pregnant with a baby that she's going to be naming Hortensia. You're upsetting baby Hortensia.
I think they're going more simple but insufferable.
Jane.
Oh. Jane's up there, I think. Ruth.
Alice.
And I already said this and it didn't get a laugh, but I do think a name like Pine or Oak or...
I had to make sure you get your laugh. Now you're going to bring it up again in 5 episodes. Oh my God, what is this mood you're in? Like, snap out of it.
I don't know. I've been in a bad mood the last couple of days.
Okay, so I'm not. Okay, so I actually did pick up on something. Perfect. I was hoping Phoebe was like, I swear I'm not in a bad mood.
No, I've been in a bad mood for like a couple of days.
Take I must a mile. Be getting my period.
But like, what I'm saying is, like, I have 10 days. So I better not be in this kind of mood for 10 days.
Well, hey, guess what? You could be experiencing something we call seasonal depression.
No, it's not that.
How do you know?
Because...
It's like, no, I don't... I don't have that.
Jesus. Sorry, that's not really my thing.
I definitely love that.
No, it's not that. I don't know what it is. But I am in a bad mood. And... Okay. I'm ready for it to be done because I do feel like clawing out from my insides. So,
yeah, no, I understand that feeling. I feel like this is a good time, an apt time to quote my favorite movie, 10 Things I Hate About You. Mr. Morgan, do you think we could get Kat to take her mind out before she comes to class? Okay, now I'm gonna make that for us. Phoebe's mom, do we think we can get Phoebe to take her mind out before she comes to record the pod?
Does that fix your mood?
Yes, bitch. Yes, it does. Why do you think I have it right next to me all the time?
I thought it just fixed your cramps.
Uber Eats some right now, bitch. No, this has caffeine in it.
I don't
it
have the money to do so.
Okay. Hey, don't say shit like that on air. Oh my god. Everyone thinks you're making mills. Everyone thinks you're making millies.
Yeah, Caroline hoards it all.
A millie.
That's why she lives in McMansion.
That's
by the manor.
Okay, now you told everyone I live in a McMansion. Perfect. Now everyone knows I live in a McMansion. That's great. Oh my god. Oh my god. It's true. I'm hoarding our millions, and I live in a palace made of my doll, and I have three cars. Three cars, and I Uber Eats my doll every single day. Even though I don't need it every single day, I have plenty.
It's just a flex on me.
It's just something that it's part of my routine. I can't control it anymore. It's muscle memory. Anyway,
subscribe and save every day.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah. Okay, never mind. I'm uncomfortable talking about my wealth. On air, I don't want to talk about my wealth anymore.
I forgot
anymore.
You're so humble.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable talking about it. Okay, so anyway, I'm relatable again. Guys, I'm not rich anymore. I'm relatable again. I'm just like you. Just like you guys. Even though you guys also live in McMansions and we're all really rich, except Phoebe. Phoebe, is this helping your mood or what?
Yeah.
Me saying that we're all super rich except for you, is that helping or hurting your bad mood? Which one? Oh my god. Oh yeah.
You know what's really gonna help it is
you know what also really upset
this,
you? Kava. Guys, if you work at the Kava near Phoebe, watch out.
Or Uber Eats, help.
Or Uber Eats, watch out.
Also what's not gonna help is that after this I have to go to the post office.
Nothing worse than that.
And we better hope that I can just drop it. They better hope I can just drop it off.
I actually can't talk about what I need to do at the post office without breaking into hives. So can we
stop
talking about
this without
now?
Breaking the law?
Okay. No. No. Famously, the post office is a place that it's hard to break the law. I think. I don't know what laws you would want to break there, but like they're weird about everything. So I imagine it would be hard.
They're weird about everything, like even the law.
No, they're weird about everything. Why? Sorry. Why are the people who work at post offices weird about everything? Anyway, back to the podcast. So Hannah and Caleb, what's the job? Okay, Hannah's doing great with her dress, her fashion company, which we love. Caleb bought the lot. Okay, they're actually rolling in dough. So I actually am really happy for them.
Yeah, done.
We're good.
Next. Is that it?
Spencer.
Oh, Spencer. Right.
Womp womp, kind of the buzzkill.
Yeah, group. Spencer. I hope she's with Toby, but we don't know that.
I can't believe that, actually, because I felt like that was...
A
oh,
fan
and that's
favorite.
What we were talking about, by the way, is that you were so mad at me for saying that, yes, that's a bad moment for Toby.
Yeah.
That's a bad moment. You, I mean, being like, every guy is a bad moment. He's like, are you this again? She's like, and let me get this clear. The
he,
one
just,
problem
just to
we have
be clear,
Toby,
everybody. Just to be clear, everybody. He's the victim in that situation.
I know he is, but also like, so is Mark S.
Yeah, but the
you
thing
don't look
is
at it that way.
Mark S. knows. No, but I wasn't even like I didn't think that until you brought that up about Mark S. Mark S. knows
the
there's a possibility that there are two Hellies. Two there's a Helena and a Helly.
What's
Toby,
Helly?
There is not. A world in which she ever believed that that wouldn't be Spencer.
But like, I'm sorry if I'm okay. Let's say Anthony comes home one night and he says something crazy. He looks at me drinking and Alani knew at midnight. And he's like, babe, you're going to be up all night. First, immediately, I'm like, who are you? What's going on here?
No,
why you're not acting like yourself. Then Phoebe,
Caroline is
he
immediately...
comes in. Listen to me. I fall asleep on the spot because he was wrong. Just kidding. He comes in. He looks so hot. He's like, let's do it, babe. I'm like, okay, babe. And then I'm like, wait a minute. You don't use this kind of aftershave. What the fuck? Where were you? What were you doing?
But for
and I'm like,
all we know,
I'm like, you don't
Alex
have this
Drake
outfit. What the
all
fuck?
This stuff.
No, but she didn't. And there would have been things that I would have been like, or like, sorry. Okay. All right.
I don't
want to
hear
I'm
it. Just, I don't want
to
hear
no,
it.
No, I am going to take it here. There are things that happen during intimacy that would clue you in that you might be like, oh, typically you love this and tonight you fucking hate it, or vice versa.
Yeah, but they haven't had sex in a long time and they're older.
I don't know. They say it's like riding a bike.
I just think, Caroline, first of all, Caroline, if Anthony walked in there and said that to you, your first reaction wouldn't be, who is this? It would be a fight. You would say, well, I would be like, say that shit to me.
I'd be like, do you know me at all? I'd be like, what the fuck? And then pair that with
but
the
Caroline,
other stuff. I'd be like, you have an evil twin.
No, you wouldn't.
I would think something was up and we wouldn't be sleeping together.
Yeah, but you wouldn't
I'd be
think
like,
it was
don't touch me, imposter.
I don't know how much sex they had. We didn't watch it happen, really.
Are you trying to say that, hey, they didn't actually even have sex? Maybe. That's not true. Phoebe, you.
Because why wouldn't Alex have said, instead of saying to Mary, I can see it by the way he looks at me. He's in love with me. And she doesn't say, I could tell by the way he absolutely railed me last night.
No, Phoebe, shut up. She's not sharing that because it makes her look bad. It makes her look like a fucking
whore.
Predator.
And a whore.
Yeah, so she's not going to say that to her mom, her mommy.
All I'm saying, her mom who did the same thing.
Yeah?
If anyone's going to be sympathetic to her
cause.
Do
as I say, not as I do. Moms say that all the time, and you know that. And you actually freaking know that.
Anyway, I just, like, I think Kayla being mad at Hannah is worse than this.
Why would you give Toby one bad moment?
Because I think he had a pretty good episode. He's had plenty of bad moments, like marrying a whole other woman.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a bad moment.
It was to me.
Okay, so all I see is that your moral compass is completely skewed by just you wanting Spoby to be together at whatever and needing them both to be the best couple.
You find out that I'm Spoby forever?
Dude, I would not be surprised if you're Spoby forever. And by the way, why'd you stop commenting then? If you're supposed to be forever, where'd you go? You fell off. They don't comment anymore.
I got banned.
I wish you would get banned from Instagram. I have to do so much damage control. You always are going on and posting crazy shit. I'm like, delete that.
Wait, my stories can be funny.
I'm like, delete that now.
I put up her Halloween
post. Change the passwords. She got back in. I know you did. That was good. Anyway, okay, and then Mona. I mean, perhaps I'm most happy with Mona's ending.
Yeah. I agree. I don't want her to get in trouble, though.
Why would she get in trouble? Mona's issue has never been with the law.
She's holding two people in hostage.
Okay.
I'm just saying, just on an off chance. They have to do something in her building, and they find that she has a whole fucking cage.
Cage or dollhouse.
Well, okay, they're caged. Those people are caged.
Well, tomato, tomato. If you knew who those people were, it'd be like...
Both of our moral compasses are... Your north is Mona, and my north is Spoby.
No.
Yeah.
No, Phoebe.
You're being skewed right now.
No, because that's worse and you know it. And you're trying to make me look bad. You're trying to discredit me entirely. I can see it. The writing's on the wall of what you're trying to do here. It's literally on the wall. In blood? Come on! Halloween's over! By the way, side note. Selling Sunset is...
Dude.
So good. I'm on episode 2.
Emma, first of all, Emma walking into that office with Mary's haircut, I was like, who is that?
Wait.
Or not Emma.
Oh, Nicole. No, Nicole's hair looks awful. I know.
You're
well, did you get to the dinner party?
You're walking into this office where everybody hates you and you are debuting a look like this?
You are now.
Sorry,
like
I love Chriselle, but that girl can be mean.
Bob.
That girl can be mean as fuck.
That girl,
and she's
I would be
gonna
scared of her.
Yeah, I did. I'm farther than you, but the girls giving.
Oh, I was like, this is episode 2.
Nicole,
it's like Salt Lake level.
Like for me, I am like Chriselle. I think we can reel it in a bitch. Like
I agree.
Like when Chriselle realizes she's holding Nicole's,
she immediately started acting.
I was like,
a
you
bitch,
weren't even
yeah.
trying to make this
Yeah.
Amicable. But okay. Nicole, it's pretty easy.
Oh my God.
To mentally say, I don't care if her parents are drug addicts and she's calling you a drug addict, or if she's ever called you a drug addict. Maybe it's just the common courtesy that every human on earth typically has to not bring up someone's dead parents.
Oh my God. Yeah. You'd think.
You'd think. Idiot.
And then Nicole's like a pit bull. Like, it's just like, you look over at her and she's like, yeah. And she just like keeps going as everyone is telling her. So she just like gets in and she will not fucking let go. Anyway, we'll talk about that on Tuesday, but it's so good. If you have not watched, we will be discussing Selling Sunset on Tuesday. It's incredible television. Not that I expected anything less, but sometimes I forget. Sometimes I'm like,
I was a little bit like, what even happened in my last mind, season? Or is this like, really what am I going to remember?
Yeah.
But like,
we're back. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we're completely freaking back. All right. So okay, so like, what do you think was the twist effective in the show?
It was effective in what Marlene wanted it to do, and that nobody could guess it.
Shocking, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's true. Do you feel like it answered everything for you? Like, do you feel satisfied with this ending to the show?
No, but I think those are two different questions. I feel like it answered everything, but it wasn't in a satisfying way.
Okay.
I wanted them to be able to point across two full seasons, and I know they kind of could, but not in the way that I was hoping they would be able to. Mm-hmm. Or even over the course of the whole show. Like, I wanted it to be really well thought out, and it just didn't feel like it was.
No, I agree. I agree. And it did just feel like they were just throwing everything in there, too. Like, the little Maya's niece moment was weird. Like, there were a lot of moments like that where it was like, okay, I see what you're trying to do, but we just don't have to have every single callback in this episode. Like, you already did Maya wrong. Don't bring her up now and remind us. Like, a lot of people probably forgot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Okay. We're going to go through some of our favorite moments from the finale. Phoebe and I each have 5. I would bet there's some crossover here, but who knows? And these are in no particular order, because the second I have to rank something, I like...
It's impossible.
Freak the heck out. So we're not doing it that way. Okay, so do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
We'll go back and forth, but yeah. Okay.
Hello, sister.
Hello, sister. That is... Yeah. Also on my list, of course. How could it not be? How could it not be? And how did I not know that line was coming? That's what I mean. Like, I got a lot spoiled for me. But the fact that our show, you and me, Pretty Little Podcast, is like based on sisterhood,
and nobody,
and we say love you like a sister, and like all those things. And actually, it was right in front of my freaking face. I won't say how, but Phoebe has been like
finale shirts, a finale merch drop that says
"Hello, sister." You're right. You're right. It really, every time I say it too, I think of Sally Bowles and Cabaret. Hello, darlings! Every time.
But it's better. No offense.
The hello, sister moment was so fucking good. It just... And that's the kind of moment that I'm like, I don't believe they didn't know that that was instant camp.
I mean, I don't believe... Like, there had to have been someone on the set who, like, burst out laughing. Not knowing that she was going to sound like that when she came around the corner.
Right? Is that her first line? No. Her first line is boo. That's you. That didn't make my list, but that's on the honorable mentions. Boo. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
On my list, I have the opening, of course. How could I not include the opening? Do we ever, like, was there a point to having Lucas tap dance?
Nope. I think just to get him in the episode. I'm like, he couldn't have been invited. He couldn't have been in the... took pictures. He gives Colin
couldn't have been at the wedding.
Couldn't he have been, like, the photographer at the wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, right. That was Marlene.
Or, like, he comes by because it's his loft and, like, he left something there. I don't know. Like, having him in a white tux and tap shoes, tap dancing, is crazy. Mm-hmm. That entire opening scene is so insane. And I wanted to talk about something. So, obviously, we have the moment of Spencer quoting Christopher Paolini. She says her, what is it, even the quote?
It's right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Because it sounds like it's going to be, like, a fucking Winnie the Pooh quote.
It's there is no courage without fear. And they're like, who is that? And Spencer says Christopher Paolini, who, by the way, if you don't know, Christopher Paolini wrote Aragon and like the Aragon series. And I'm like, is Spencer this also supposed to be a joke, like a ridiculous thing? Like, is this supposed to be another? Because like everything they say in this dream sequence is like ridiculous and not true. Like, is this also, like, because she would never have been quoting the Aragon no. series? Like, or am I just being a bitch?
Or maybe it's Mona being a bitch to Spencer, and she's like, Spencer probably reads shit like the Aragon series.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just like, and also I'm like, I don't know. I just think it's such a weird, that's something I would love to ask Marlene about. I'd love to be like, so how did we choose the Christopher Paolini?
We had that amazing moment of them saying goodbye before they all went to college. And it's that goodbye quote from Winnie the Pooh. It could have been a callback to something like that. That would have been just like sweeter.
Or you could have even had Hannah go, is that Winnie the Pooh? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like said that, like to call back to it. And then it could have been like a funny moment. But still, I'm just, it feels like every time we get a quote or something like that, it's a little bit more intentional. And this just felt like bizarre to me.
It's also like that's not someone that I feel like people like know off the top of their head, really.
No, exactly. Exactly.
People that she's normally quoting.
I would more expect Hannah to have read the Aragon series than Spencer. But also Hannah's not like remembering any quotes from it. You know what I mean? So even so, it's just like, I don't know. I just thought that was weird. It honestly would have been a good time for her to quote Arya's book. That would have been a good moment.
Yes.
She could have quoted it and said, it's Arya Montgomery. Or Ezra Fitz or something like that. But anyway, the entire opening sequence. And then, of course, zooming out and seeing that it's my girl, Mona,
it's just
bestie.
Crazy that that's how it all started.
Defend her with my life. And one of the things Mike's Mike just said, I guess I could just call him Mike, but you might think I'm talking about Mike Montgomery. But he reveals that Mona is A, and he goes, in my opinion, she did nothing wrong. Everything was completely justified, and love her, and love her. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't remember what it was exactly that I can't remember any of the exact words he used.
He's so
but it
funny,
was though. So funny. Like, he was just immediately like, and everything she did was completely justified, and they deserved it, and yeah, so she did nothing wrong. Anyway, okay, what's your next on your list? Was the next, opening on yours?
No. Next is Jenna. Wow. The scene where Jenna is walking out of Vivi's office and we find out that she's suing. It's this whole scene. She's suing Addison, but then we hear Spencer, she like hugs Spencer, and then Spencer's looking up and smiling at Vivi. Mm-hmm. And Vivi's like, what? And Vivi goes, Spencer goes, nothing. You're just a complete rock star.
Total freaking rock star.
And then Jenna may as well not smell Spencer, but may as well hear Spencer and say, Toby, I don't think Spencer's Spencer.
Spencer isn't Spencer. Call me crazy. That was on my honorable mentions list because I also love that. I love any moment where, like, Jenna is truly omnipotent. Jenna knows everything and yet allegedly cannot see. I do think it's crazy Jenna ends the series still not being able to see.
Yeah.
I mean, not that, like, I care that much because fuck Jenna.
But it is, like, she's been trying for so long.
That's what I'm saying. She's had, like, how many surgeries and we still couldn't just give it to her at the end? Like, I don't know. They should have ended it with Jenna taking off her glasses and winking at the camera or something.
I think Jenna would have been a great contender for being A. I don't know why that wasn't really on the list, really.
Because honestly, at that point, it would have felt too obvious, too, that, like, people wouldn't have been guessing it, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It still could have been her and it wouldn't have, I don't know. Okay, on my list I have like the entire Addison school moment. It's just too fucking funny not to include here. Like her and her being like physically assaulted by two teachers and in like within 30 seconds is amazing.
And she's still not really the victim in the situation.
Exactly. She's still like completely the antagonist, like a bad person. But the moment where Allie grabs her arm and then when Jenna grabs her hand, like it's just so good. I love seeing
I may not
that
be able to see, but I can smell
her.
A bitch a mile away.
And also, like, Jenna, you can't say that. You're in school. You work here. You cannot say this to a student. Addison is going to have a case pretty soon. She's going to be like, yeah, all the teachers are manhandling.
She's actually just instigating. She's baiting all of you teachers so that she can eventually get you all fired.
And it's fucking working. But all of that is just pretty iconic. And then, of course, that's when we see Sydney Sweeney in the show, which is a jump scare if you want it to be, you know? It's
yeah.
Kind of crazy. All right, what's next for you?
Next is the whole Ren reveal.
Wow, really?
Of him being dead, but also being made into an Eternity Stone. Him being the father of Emily and Allison's kid. Him shooting
out
Drake
in
the chest.
Good point.
All of
him
that, really.
Being the father of those children. I also just, like, and maybe this is me being stupid, but did you anticipate Ren being such a big part of the story at the end, like when you were watching it, like I really was just never and you know what, neither was the actor, Neither was he, because he did not make himself available to come back.
Mm-mm. But he made himself available for that weird random airport scene.
Yeah. And that's it. Very crazy. Odd. But I just never saw him coming back, honestly. His obsession not with Spencer ran so deep. No. Okay, next on mine is Deja Vu, bitch. And then Mona knocking Spencer out.
That's a really good one.
Mona's just, in like
almost that, we needed that callback.
It's so good. She whacks her. It makes a really satisfying noise, which is always important in a good whacking scene. I just love Mona getting to be Mona. Here's what I really just think. Like, this whole episode, Mona just got to fucking be in her Mona oats.
Yeah, definitely.
She didn't have to be anybody else. But question for you about it. Like, for Mona, do you think, I can't tell, was she, as soon as she got out of the game, or out of Welby, was she already deciding that she was going to help out the girls? Or did AD piss her off with the whole, like, Melissa thing and not telling her information, and then she decided to try to play to beat AD?
I think she was playing for the girls the whole time, but I think her methods changed. I think when AD, when she realized she wasn't going to be able to get AD to trust her in a way where AD would reveal themselves to her, she was like, well, fuck you. I'll take matters into my own hands. Like, you don't get my power anymore to do whatever you want to do until I get to meet you. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I could see it going both ways, but that's kind of what I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. I think you should have, what, one more?
I think I have two more.
Okay.
Wait. No, yeah, one.
Well, it's okay. You can have more then.
Arya going into the middle of the Lost Woods Resort and waking everybody up with her.
Okay, crying. Wow. You chose the saddest moment of Arya's life and made that one of your favorite moments of the episode.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's just and more so Arya.
If we hadn't made Arya into who Arya is, like watching the show back, that wouldn't have made it onto the list.
It might have been a nothing burger of a scene, honestly, but.
And now, guys, if Caroline's gotten anything out of this whole podcast, is that she knows that nothing burger is a saying.
And this is Phoebe's way of making fun of me for saying it right here.
It's just a way of reminding you that
everything I've learned here.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything I've learned from this show. Yeah, no, you're right. That's on the list for sure. I did not think that was real, and now I do feel like I see that word, or like people say it, like fairly often. It's like, were my eyes just closed this whole time, or are you all in on it? You know what I mean? Okay. Good talk.
Sorry, I just got some sad news.
What?
No, not about that.
You're not going to Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This was a real tough ticket, but one day. I'm just not meant to see her. I've been trying to see her since I was freaking 13 years old.
And wow, you'll see her.
Eventually.
You will see her. It's only going to get harder.
Hopefully it only gets easier.
Maybe. Okay, now bragging. Okay, crazy. Well, now bragging. No, you'll see her. I believe it. Somehow, some way. Maybe I'll get tickets for us one day. Leave it to me. Probably be me who does it. Anyway, my last scene is the last scene. Just seeing that Mona, like, for me, I'm like, okay, and you are fully absolved now. I can completely forgive you for everything you did to my girl, Hannah. I just love seeing Mona be a good friend. I really do feel like this absolved her of everything for me. Like, you now, to the end, have made sure that you are, like, making up your debt to Hannah, what you did to Hannah. You are, like...
And to an extent, the things that were done to her.
Agree. Totally like, agree.
Past the point where Mona was made... was where Mona was A. Mona was, and the girls never gave her credit for this, she was also a victim. She was brought into the dollhouse, and that was part of why Alex became the way that she was. I mean, I know that AD wasn't necessarily...
We didn't even see, like, everything that happened to Mona, you know?
So I think that there's also a piece of it that's like, I want to fucking torment this bloodline.
Yeah, for sure.
The Drakes.
I think that the final scene, and honestly... That was, like, the most fun twist for me because I had already gotten the Alex Drake twist kind of ruined. And I mean that in a nice way. But, like, to see this Mona thing happen and then have – I didn't realize that was the cop. And I didn't – like, I was just like, I liked that twist. It really worked for mm-hmm. me. So that was also my list. Do you have anything else on your list? Was that everything?
My last one, my one honorable mention. Well, okay, my last one that made the list is when Toby, like, just the blocking of the scene makes me laugh. The way that, like, Toby doesn't knock on the door, but Toby wasn't in the conversation in the room with everybody. So he's, and we don't hear the door open. So when he walks in and he presents the French catcher in the rye with no notes, he's just like, because I think they say, we're going to text Spencer. And then we don't hear a door open. We don't hear any movement. We just hear Toby go, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Like, is this a high school play?
He's literally been standing there waiting for his cue line. Like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And literally, he's got his prop.
He's standing next to the cameraman, and he's like, okay, it's my cue. All right.
And now, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I were you. So, and I wrote Himbo Toby. He is Himbo Toby this
that's
episode.
Such a good, the way you just said, is this a school play? Just really nailed it. Really nailed that entrance because it's such a specific thing. It's excellent. Oh my God.
My last one is just the general horse. We had to throw that in there. I feel like for Sarah, that was her.
She loved that fucking horse.
Is how was like is how key. We started to realize that
yes.
Spencer was Spencer.
She loved it. And you know what?
Like, guys, so much so that, like, when we were she got on we had some technical difficulties, so, like, I had it like 5 minutes with her the night before mm-hmm. where she brought it up then too. She was like, we were just laughing about it together because she was like, and I couldn't believe that it was the horse.
Guys,
and then she kept bringing it up on the episode. I was like, you're kidding
I know.
Me.
She's so fun. She is, like, such a fun person to talk to. And I don't know. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. But it was just, like, a hoot to hear her talking about it. And, like, she is dead set on rewatching the series. She's like, I need to go back and just get into this. And, like, how fun, honestly, for her. Like, I would love to just – I was like, you have to text us your thoughts as you're doing it because I need to know, like – what a surreal experience that would be. Can you imagine, like, creating that world and then just, like, seeing the mayhem that people are creating within it? You know,
well,
what
probably
I mean?
Like, if she were to really sit down and listen to some of our recaps, she'd be like, how did they even get
feel the same way?
It's honestly like a game of telephone. It's like her books yeah. into the TV yeah. show into our lore.
Yes, completely. So, guys, next week, next Thursday's episode, we are wrapping up Pretty Little Liars with all these episodes. So hopefully you feel as satisfied as we do when we finally come to a close. But we are going to be going into, this was someone's idea a while ago, and they thought it'd be cool if we did, like, our ultimate rotations. And so I would like to do next week dream and nightmare rotations for, like, different A punishments for outfits of the girls, for characters,
next
for
week. Or this week.
Yeah, next week. Phoebe's like, what the fuck? I don't have
well,
any of this prepared.
I thought you just meant characters, so now I'm not.
No, I think we get really into it. I think we do, like, seasons. I think we do, like, different episodes, things like that, and we'll talk about it. But I think it'll be a really fun way to sort of, like, kind of send this off a little bit more. And as we get going on in this month, we're going to be talking about some other TV shows and we're excited to get into it. So stay tuned on all of that. Make sure you're following us on social media so you can be the first to know about any updates that are coming. It's at the Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. Definitely check that out so that you are not missing out on any of the exciting stuff to come. All right, I think that was a really nice, healthy, thorough of that finale. It was a crazy one. I pretty much freaking loved it. And I'm excited to talk next week about our rotations. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next week.
And close.